Welcome to the podcast, From Our Home to Yours, with Nancy Campbell, founder and publisher of Above Rubies.
It's where we learn to forgive in that home.
Hello, ladies. It's so good to be with you again today or this evening, whenever you are listening. And you are listening. You wouldn't be here unless you were listening. I'm so glad you are listening. I think listening is a very important thing. But then again, we've got to listen to the right things, don't we? I was reading the other day in John chapter 14, the beautiful words of Jesus, when he says, it's of course John chapter 10, and John chapter 10 is the shepherd chapter. And Jesus, who is the good shepherd, is speaking and says, "The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger." And I was thinking again about this scripture. If we are his sheep, we will hear his voice. And I do trust that as you listen to these podcasts, that you will listen for God's voice, that you'll listen for the voice of Jesus. Yes, you'll be hearing my voice, but I pray that you will hear his voice and that you'll listen for his voice. And if there is anything that, wow, you don't feel is quite right, check it out. I love to do that. I'm one of those people who are called a Berean. Do you remember the Bereans in the Word of God? In the Acts of the Apostles, it tells us how Paul spoke and preached, but the Bereans, they didn't just listen to him. They checked out what Paul said. They got into the scriptures to see whether those things were so. Of course, when you hear truth, it sort of burns in your spirit, doesn't it? I love that scripture. When Jesus met the two disciples after he had died and after he had risen from the dead, and they were walking down to their little village of Emmaus, and they were so forlorn and unhappy because they thought Jesus was dead. And he came alongside them, and he began to open up to them the scriptures. And then eventually they got to their little town and they invited him in. And the Bible tells us that as Jesus broke the bread and gave thanks, that their eyes were open. They realized it was him, and he vanished out of their sight. But then they said, it's in Luke chapter 24, verse 32, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us as he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures?" And when we hear truth, it burns in our spirit. It witnesses in our spirit, doesn't it? But we have to get used to listening to his voice and discerning the voice of the stranger. Because Jesus said in John 10, his sheep, they will not listen to a stranger. Now that word in the Greek is allotrios, and it means someone who is not one's own. They are not your kin. They're foreign, alien, hostile. And they are voices that are hostile to God's word. They're alien to God's word. The sad part about it is that I hear many, many people who say they are Christian who actually listen to the voices of the stranger more than they do to God himself. I find most Christian young people today, they know more about the current movies and more about movie stars, and they talk more about them than they know of God's word. I'm amazed so many times of how little they know God's word. If you start a scripture, just a very familiar scripture, they can't even finish it. I mean, really, if we're listening, if we're listeners, if we're his sheep who listen to his voice, we'll know the scriptures. And even us adults, it's the same with adults. Often their talk is no different to young people. And most families today, they are more familiar with the voices of feminism and humanism than they are of the scriptures. I mean, most people in the church today, they have the mindset of limiting their families to one or two children. And this is in the church I'm talking about. And where does that come from? That's the voice of feminism. That's the voice of humanism. It's the voice of the stranger to the Word of God. It's strange. It's alien to the Word of God because the Word of God is opposite. The Word of God reveals God's heart. And over again, we read of how God wants to bless us. And then it tells us how he wants to bless us. I will bless the fruit of your womb. I will do you good and I will multiply you. And over again, we read these words that reveal the heart of our Father and his plan for us. And this is the voice of God, the voice of the Word of God, opposite to the voice of the stranger. And so, what does it say? When they hear the voice of the stranger, they won't listen to him. They will flee from him. They will run from him. Do we really run from the voice of the stranger? From the voice of the world? From the voice of feminism and humanism and socialism that's all around us? And it just becomes so part of us. We get so used to it. That is the voice of the stranger. Let's truly be his sheep who hear his voice, and we're prepared to obey his voice, and everything else is alien, hostile to us. It doesn't belong to us. Amen? Well, before we get on with our points today, I thought I'd love to read you a poem. It's an old, old poem. I used to recite this poem when I was a young girl. I think some of you may know it. It's called If Jesus Came to Your House. If Jesus came to your house to spend some time with you, if he came unexpected, I wonder what you'd do. Oh, I know you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you'd serve to him would be the very best. And you would keep assuring him that you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched and welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in, or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they'd been? Would you hide your worldly music and get some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in? Or would you rush about? And I wonder, if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Or would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you'd plan to go? Or would you maybe change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends, or hope that they would stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever? On and on. Would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus came in person to spend some time with you. Wow, would we really love to have him in person all day and every day with us? Because he wants to be with us every day. He's in us if we have invited him in, and he wants to be in our homes and be part of everything we are doing. Now, remember, we are doing podcast 39, although we will be doing 59 next week. This is a recap of a podcast that disappeared. You never got it, unfortunately. But we do want you to have it because it is part of the series of How Do You Change the World? And I did 24 podcasts on this series, and I want to make sure you have them all. So the points in this particular one are points number 11 and 12. And number 11 is passionately loving. God not only wants us to love, but to love passionately, to love fervently. And you'll remember that this is what we are finding out in this series of How Do We Change the World? We find that God has all these adjectives, and we don't do things normally. When Jesus lives within us, we do them ultra normally. We do them extraordinarily. We do them just abundantly and exceedingly. And so we read these scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. The love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. 1 Peter 1:22. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. And so we see that God wants our love to be hot, to be fervent. Not just loving, but fervently loving. Isn't it wonderful, ladies, to have the scriptures? I need the scriptures. Because if we didn't have the Word of God encouraging us and telling us how it's meant to be, we would live sub-zero level. I know I would. And I'm encouraged and I'm stirred on. I'm spurred along by the scriptures to love more fervently because I can just get along in my life and, oh yes, just love the people I love. But there's more than that. You see, Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, but the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who is given unto us. And so when Christ dwells in us by his Holy Spirit, we have the love of God just being shed abroad and poured out in our hearts. And we need to be reminded of this because we can live so normally. But God wants us to live above the normal. And so we're encouraged and we're reminded to do this. Now, where does our love start? It's very easy to love people you hardly know because you haven't had to really find out what they're really like and all the idiosyncrasies and the things that get on your nerves. And so you can say, oh, how lovely to meet you. Oh, I love you. But, okay, where does it really start? It starts in our home, of course. Everything starts in our home with our husband. How do you love your husband? Do you just, well, I love him? Or do you love him fervently? You see, my lovely ladies, we've got to get past the normal, the mediocre, and go beyond that to love fervently. Maybe your love is just in a little bit of a rut. I know what that's like. I've got into that in my own marriage. And you know you love one another and life just goes on. And yes, I mean, you don't have any problems with your husband. And yes, you know you love one another. But it's just pretty normal. Oh no, God wants us to go beyond that. He wants us to love fervently, to be thinking of extra ways to show our love beyond the normal. And of course, love is not just a feeling, lovely ladies. No, love takes work, hard work. Love is serving. Love is often just doing the duty. But it's love. And so we don't get into the grind. Instead, we realize sometimes the grind can be part of our loving. We do the grind, but we do it with love because it's for our husband, it's for our family, it's for our home, and we're building a strong and godly family. There may be some of you where you feel your lover's, it's just gone out the door. You don't feel love anymore. But once again, can I encourage you? Love is not, well, love can be a great feeling. And there are times when you do really feel love, but you can't base your love on feeling. No, because sometimes you don't feel and you have to love anyway. And that's where you know the scripture, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost who is in me. So if my love has gone out the door, well, it doesn't matter because God's love is pouring into my heart. So I can still love. Even if mine's gone, I love with God's love. You have to do that by faith. You haven't got any feeling about it, but you do it anyway. You love, even when you don't feel like loving. And that's true love. That's powerful love. That's real love. When you love, when you don't even feel like loving. So I want to encourage you in this. Just love your husband fervently. If you haven't done anything fervent or passionate for a little while, think of something you can do that is passionate, that is fervent, that's over the top, that's more than necessary, that's above the normal. Come on, lovely ladies. Don't stay in the rut. Don't stay in the boring normality. Get out of that. Amen. Yes, and then what about your children? Of course, you love your children. Oh, yes, but sometimes, you know, you don't show it. You may be frowning more than smiling at them. You're just kind of getting into that self-pity, poor me and your poor children. Oh, goodness me, they've got to put up with that. Now, that's not love. You know, love has to go beyond ourself. See, the trouble is, many times we love ourself the most. And so it's all poor me and looking after me and how everything affects me. No, God's love, it goes beyond ourselves. It pours out for others. So even when you are feeling lousy, you don't give in to that self-pity, poor me, lousy, down in the dumps, depressed feeling. No, you rise above that And once again you claim the promise, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. And you think of the other scripture which says that when we, you know, lay down our life for ourselves, we hold it for ourselves, we're going to lose our life. But when we lose our life for others, we find it. True love is in pouring out our lives for others, serving others, giving to others. This is what true love is, and this is what brings joy. And then, as we have the love of God just filling our homes, we're going to take that out to others, and we're going to love the brethren and love the people around us, for it's spreading abroad love wherever we go, isn't it? Now, David, I love this scripture in Psalm 16, where he says how that he showed his love for God by loving the saints. This is what it says. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. David understood, and David realized that when he was filled with love and praise to God, that the greatest way he could show his love to God was to show it to his people around him. Because God is in his people. And when we love his people, we're loving him. We're loving his body. And so he said, this is how I'm going to show my goodness unto the Lord. I'm going to show it in delighting in the saints, the excellent in the earth, who are all around me. And so this is another beautiful way to show our love, is to show it to God's people. Now, how can we show it to God's people? Of course, we show his love to his people by praying for them as they, you know, God puts them upon our hearts. We show it to them by doing something good for them as God puts that upon our hearts. And when we know someone is sick or hurting or in hospital or whatever, we'll go and we'll visit them because we want to show God's love to them. But I think a very practical way that we can show the love of God to his people is by hospitality, by having them into our home. Oh, wow. Now, some people love to hear that. Some people don't. Some people think, oh, goodness me, I mean, hospitality, that's not really my gift. Well, lovely ladies, I know that there are some families who have that gift of hospitality, and it is something special in their lives, but I can't let you off the hook. I'm sorry, but the Bible speaks about hospitality to everyone, not just to those who think it's their gift or they love doing it. No, it's to the whole body of Christ. You see, our God is an hospitable God. Oh, he loves to say, come. Come is one of God's favorite words. Oh, he just says, come, come unto me. Come all ye that are heavy and laden, and I will give you rest. Come and take of the water of life freely. It's just come, come. He says, go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. God wants a full house. And he's saying, come unto me. I want to bring you into my kingdom. I send my son to die for you so that you could come and be part of my family and come and inherit all that I have given to my son. You are not only my heir, but you're joint heirs with Christ. And so he invites us in. But you see, this hospitable God lives in you and me. If he is in your heart, if he abides in you, This one who lives in you is hospitable, and he wants to say come through you. He wants you to invite people into your home, because as we invite people into our home, we are inviting them in to get them, often to get them into God's home. And that's how God gets them into his home. It's not just taking people to church and hoping they'll get saved. No, it's inviting them into our home, sitting them down at our table, where it is the most wonderful opportunity to speak about Jesus to the unsaved, and of course to fellowship in the Word and with kindred spirits amongst the saints of God. Now, let me see if I can give you a few scriptures. Yes, Romans 12:13. In this scripture, Paul is writing and he exhorts, it's to all the saints, it's not just to a specific few. It says we are to be given to hospitality. Now, that word given in the Greek is dioko, and it means, this is what it means, ladies, are you ready for it? It means to pursue, to follow after, to seek after eagerly, to press toward, to earnestly endeavor. Now we see this same word given, where we're to be given to hospitality. We see it in Philippians 3:6, where it talks about being persecuted. Well, we've got to persecute people to hospitality. We don't even give up till they come. And we invite them for a meal and, oh, they just have excuses. But we don't even give up. We persecute them with love and kindness until they come. Follow after. And that scripture in Philippians where it says we're to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's that pressing toward. Well, that's the same word when it says we're to be given to hospitality. We're to press toward making it happen in our homes. We're to go after it, pursue it. Yes, now, here's some other translations. The Living Bible says, get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner, or if they need lodging for the night. Get into the habit. It actually should be a habit of our lives. Now, it used to be more in the church than it is today. Somehow, hospitality is kind of fading away. And yet it's meant to be part of our lives. In fact, in the early church, do you remember it was part of their everyday lives? Let me go to Acts chapter 2. And we read about what they did in the early church, the early believers. Here we are, Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And they, continuing daily, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with, that means their food, did eat their food with gladness and singleness of heart. Now that's a beautiful picture. What were they doing? Were they going around having communion from house to house? No, no. This is just talking about their daily meals, because breaking bread is the way they used to speak about having a meal. They broke bread together. And especially in the Middle East, where they break the pita bread and they dip it in the dish, they dip it in the hummus, they dip it in the baba ganoush, and they dip it in the foods that they have made, they call it breaking of bread. And it was their eating of their meals together. Now, all of a sudden, when the Holy Spirit fell, thousands were saved and came into the kingdom. And they were just so filled with God and filled with revelation of their newfound faith. And because they were Jews and they had been daily used to the sacrifices in the temple and all the ritual of the temple, which all speak of Christ, then for the first time in their lives, they began to see what it was all about. Oh, these sacrifices of the Lamb, morning and evening, that all pointed to Christ, who was the Lamb, who was slain once and for all, because he was the pure, sinless Lamb who was able to take our punishment and die once and for all for our sins. And they began to see all the different meanings of everything that happened in the temple. And can you imagine when they came together? They couldn't wait to get together. Oh, they worked during the day, so they would have to get together at supper time. And they would just bring their food and they would eat together and they would talk and fellowship. Did you realize this? Oh, did you understand this? Oh, I can see this now, that revelation. Isn't this incredible? Oh, everything we've done for years and for generations past is all pointed to Jesus. And so their fellowship was so rich, and they gathered daily in one another's homes, just breaking bread and eating their evening meal together and praising God and having favor with all the people. And I'm always challenged by these words. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Do you notice the correlation there? And they continued daily breaking bread from house to house. And then daily the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. I believe there's a great correlation there. And as the people around saw their lifestyle, saw their love for one another. Oh, and it was said of them, look how they love one another. And the richness of their fellowship. They looked on and they wanted it. And as they daily showed hospitality, daily the Lord added souls to the church. Now, how often do we have souls being added to the church today? Not so often these days, which is so sad. I wonder if it comes back to our hospitality. How often do we have hospitality? Now, during the course of our lives and our marriage, we've been married, I keep forgetting. I think I said the other podcast it was 55, but I think it's 56 years. But anyway, we've either done two things when we've been in a church where we have a fellowship meal, which we currently do at our church fellowship here. We have fellowship meal after the service. So everybody brings a dish and we eat together. We fellowship together, which is so wonderful. I believe, my precious ladies, that church is far more than going to a church, listening to a message, and going home. Church is fellowship. It's the meeting of the saints together. It's encouraging one another and having that fellowship of kindred spirits, or even those who are not so kindred, of encouraging and inspiring them. And you can't do that by just driving up to a church, walking in, having some worship, listening to a message, and going home. That's not real fellowship. It's not koinonia. And I do believe that, we do need this, because this is how we show our love to one another. In fact, even the fact of coming to church shows our love for the brethren. What does it say in 1 John? We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We love them. Now, if you love them, you want to be with them. If you love them, you're going to be there. Saturday or Sunday, whenever you worship, you're going to be there because you love them. You stay away? What does it say? You don't really love the brethren. You'd rather do your own thing. You've got other things to do. No, we show our love by being there. And then we show our love by going further and having hospitality. So at the moment, we have our fellowship meal, and that sometimes carries on into the afternoon, you know, and so on. It's so wonderful. In times when we haven't had that, we would always invite people back to our home after Sunday service and have people around our table. I can remember when our children were still home with us, we'd often end up with 30 or more people around our table or around the deck or around somewhere, all eating, because not only would Colin and I be inviting folks home, but our teenage children would be inviting their friends home. And it was just so wonderful. It was a continuation. It wasn't just, okay, we go and we listen to a service. No, we come home and we continue that dialogue. We talk about that revelation that we got from the Word, and people can ask questions. And oftentimes, people would even come to Jesus around our table, or we'd be praying for them, or praying for someone to be healed, or praying for those who are need encouraging. And it is just so wonderful. But why do we do this? Because not only does the Word say it, because we love the brethren and we want to love them fervently. Now, some other translations of Romans 12:13. The New Living Translation: when God's people are in need, be ready to help them, always eager to practice hospitality. The Passion Translation: eagerly welcome people as guests into your home. The Holman Translation: pursue hospitality. Do you remember about the house of Stephanas in 1 Corinthians 16:15? It says of them, you know the house of Stephanas, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Addicted. They were just addicted to blessing and serving and showing hospitality to the saints. So hospitality shouldn't be a haphazard occurrence of our lives, but the habit of our lives. 1 Peter 4:7-9 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious, watchful in your prayers, and above all, have fervent love to one another. And what does it say next, ladies? Have fervent love to one another and be hospitable to one another. Here the Word is showing us how to do it. How do we have fervent love? Inviting people to our home without grumbling. Well, I'd love to talk to you so much more about hospitality, because I know you have lots of ifs and buts and questions. Maybe you could go back and have a look at Tea Time and Talk Show that I do with Erin Harrison. We ended up doing 12 live talk shows where you can see us on the subject of hospitality. And we didn't exhaust it, but we answered lots of questions there and all the excuses we have about hospitality, and we answered those. You can find those if you go to my Above Ruby's Facebook and look for the videos, or you could go to Erin's her Facebook, Keeper of the Homestead blog, and you can find them there. There's 12 of them you could look at about hospitality. Okay, well, time is running out for this podcast, and I've just got to do number 12 because we have to fit it in number 39. So I'll just tell you what it is. Number 12, exceedingly growing in the faith. God not only wants us to have faith in Him, but to exceedingly grow in the faith. We've got to grow, ladies. Never stay the same. Grow, grow, grow. One scripture says that all may see your growth in the Lord. Colossians 1:22-23 says, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all toward each other abounds. Now, did you notice those words? Your faith grows exceedingly. How are you growing in the Lord? A little wee bit or exceedingly? Come on now, if we're going to change the world, we've got to grow exceedingly. Now remember, that word exceedingly is hyperoxano in the Greek, and this is what it means: to increase above the ordinary degree. Isn't that amazing? Yes, God is always looking for that which is more, above the normal, above the ordinary degree. One of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Dear lovely ladies, our Christian walk is a more and more walk. It's always more and more. When you wake up in the morning, say, thank you, Jesus. I belong to you. Thank you that I'm walking on the journey of a more and more walk. I want to know more of you today. I want to learn more and more. I want to show more and more of you to my husband, to my children. And always be seeking for more and more. As you read the scriptures, be looking for more and more. Listening. Yes, as we started this podcast, listening for his voice. Listening to him, never the voice of the stranger. I think I said on one of my other podcasts that line from a song, I don't want to miss one word you speak. I actually looked up the song because, oh, I just love those words so much. And it's from the song I'm Listening by Chris McClarney. And the chorus says, I don't want to miss one word you speak, 'cause everything you say is life to me. I don't want to miss one word you speak. Quiet my heart, I'm listening. Keep listening to the Lord, and as you do, you will grow more and more. Dear Father, I pray that you will bless each one listening personally in their lives. Give them such a passion to seek after you more and more. Give them a longing for prayer more and more. Give them a heart and a longing to read your word more and more. Lord God, fill them more and more with your love and with your spirit. Lord, fill their home more and more with your love and your joy and the manifestation of your presence and the atmosphere of heaven. I ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.